any time that I've ever stood before the Lord's people that I felt more in need of prayer than I do this morning. And I don't think we can ever feel in need of prayer and not be in a better spot than when we think we don't need it. So just please pray for me as I stand before you right now, that the Lord would have his way and guide us, direct us, open up our ability to speak, open the door of utterance for us, that we might share with you the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. We feel the need of the congregation today. We know and understand how much we need to be encouraged by the truth of God's Word. God's Word is like a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. God's Word is good for the conversion of the soul. God's Word does not regenerate us or make us alive, but it sure teaches us, after we've been made alive, how we ought to live and act, walk, how we even ought to think. And we need that instruction here in this world. It causes our soul to rejoice, our hearts to rejoice, to hear the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just pray today that the Lord would bless us. I appreciate the prayer that's been offered. Appreciate the song service and just the fellowship of the brethren. It's a great feeling to be in a place where you feel the love of God's children flowing from breast to breast and heart to heart. And that being genuine, not something that's just put on the outside, but something that truly comes out of God's people. And I feel that here today and have felt it in the past. I do thank the Lord for every good thing. That sweet fellowship means a great deal to us. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I'd like to read to you today from the writings of the Apostle Paul in the book of Colossians, chapter 3. We'll go ahead and read the entirety of the chapter, which is 25 verses in your hearing, and try our best to follow the leadership of the Spirit to guide us and direct us what we're to say from these words. In Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, he says, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Jesus. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. God means what he says, and God says what he means. And we're thankful that we deal with a just and a holy and a righteous God. But we're also very thankful we deal with a God of love and a God of grace and a God of mercy. And God is all of those things. He didn't do anything outside of his character, didn't do anything outside of who he is. God doesn't act like we do sometimes, one way today and another day tomorrow, thinking one way one moment and thinking another way the other moment. God doesn't change his mind because he never has to change his mind. Our God is God that changeth not. The very fact that we're alive and are here is evidence to the fact that God does not change. And those whom he loves today, he has always loved and he will forever love. And God doesn't act one way on one situation and another way in another situation. We can count on God being the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's what we're to preach, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Here the Apostle Paul says, if ye then be risen with Christ. What does he mean by that, being risen with Christ? That's a state that not everybody is in. Not everybody in the world is risen with Christ. So what does it mean? That's who he's talking to those who are risen in Christ. By the way, he is addressing the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. He's talking to the Lord's people at Colossae, to those who were called to be saints. They weren't saints based on their good behavior, on their change of life, their attitude, what they had done. They were saints because the Lord had called them out of nature's darkness into his marvelous light, and he had separated them, he had sanctified them, set them apart to live and act and walk in this world in a way that they would be a benefit to the Lord's people, and also a praise and honor and glory to God. That is what he is teaching us here in this passage, is how you and I, if we are indeed his people, how we're supposed to live and act and think and behave in order to live and praise and to give glory to the Lord. And what's wonderful about that is that when we do that, it's absolutely the best way that we can live. And when we fail to do that, well, we're not going to be happy as God's little children, because we have been brought from a state of death to a state of life. And he hadn't given us that life to live like we never were made alive. He didn't give us that life for us to go to sleep. He didn't give us that life in order for us to live it in the sin that we were in, and in the depravity that we were in, and in the way that we were walking in an untoward way when it came to untoward. He gave us life that we might live it in a way to honor and glorify the Lord. Our lifestyle will not cause us to be or keep us from being God's children. But as God's children who've been called out of nature's darkness into his marvelous light, from those who were made, who were darkness, who are now light, there is a duty and a responsibility then to walk as the children of light and to live as the children of light, and you and I will simply never be happy or content or at rest or at peace in this world unless we walk in that way. And the Lord is not, there is no respect of persons. That means I'm not going to get by with it. You're not going to get by with it. Our children won't get by with it. Our parents didn't get by with it. If we sow to the flesh, the Bible teaches us very clearly, we'll of the flesh reap corruption. But if we sow to the Spirit, we'll of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And that's not talking about how you live to be a child of God. It's talking about how you as a child of God ought to live in a way to honor and glorify the Lord. That's a whole lot different. If we started thinking that I've got to get good enough, I talked to a young man this week who had gotten in a false doctrine in his head and in his mind that taught him that if he didn't get above sin, if he didn't get out of all the sin of this world, if he didn't stay out of it and he stepped in it at all or did anything wrong or acted in any way outside of the teachings of God's word, that he would be cast away from the Lord no matter how much the Lord had done for him. He would lose all of it if he didn't stay right online. Now, can you imagine? And he was sincere about that. Can you imagine what state he was in, as I told you? Do you think he was happy? Do you think he was content? Do you think he was at rest? Do you think he was having any peace? No, he was tore up. And he didn't really like what I said at the beginning of it, but the more I talked about it, I could tell he was maybe liking it a little bit better as we just continued to talk. He was getting it either way, because as he began to talk and tell me how you had to be righteous, you could not be wrong in any one step or any one way, the scriptures just came flooding into my mind that told us that man by his own works and through the fulfillment of the law, there is no righteousness before God, that there is absolutely no way we'll ever be without sin. And if we say we have no sin, we make him a liar, which really we're saying the Lord is a liar. If any man say he is without sin, he really doesn't know himself. He hasn't understood. He isn't telling the truth. He's walking outside of the truth. And we'll never get to be holy and righteous enough to be able to have communion with God, whether we're talking about heaven or whether we're talking about here. But as sure as I say that, I don't want to fall in the ditch on the other side of the road either and say it doesn't matter how you live. You can walk any way, talk any way, do anything, and there's no consequences. Listen, there are grave consequences for God's little children when you and I are not striving with our very best to be as close to him as we can. And to be close to him is to put on godliness. And to put on godliness means, as he is holy, we ought to strive to be holy. We ought to strive to live as much above sin as we can. But the Bible teaches us that there is none good, no, not one, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if we say we have no sin, then the truth is not in us. And if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we have to recognize the only righteousness that will get me to heaven is what's in Jesus Christ, my Savior. And the only righteousness that allow me to even pray here, and he hear me, is Jesus Christ, my Savior. And the only righteousness I can depend upon him to show me one bit of good in my life, the only reason I would deserve or have any good coming my way, is because of Jesus Christ and what he's done for me. Listen, he paid for all of that we might have. And he also paid for it that you and I might live different, act different, talk different. I'm not saying today we're going to get perfect, but y'all all agree with me we can get a lot better, don't you think? I mean, we're not going to get perfect, but do you not believe we can improve? And if you don't believe we can improve, now can we improve on our own? The answer to that is absolutely not. If we try to do it on our own, we will not get better. We'll get worse. That little boy... Now, that young man was not getting better in his efforts to be perfect. He was getting worse. And the more that he tried to be perfect and felt like, now I've gotten perfect, I'm good enough, the farther away from the fellowship of the Lord he was getting. You know, when you really begin to walk in the fellowship of the Lord is when you say, Lord, there's no hope for me. There's no hope for all of mankind except Jesus Christ and him crucified. But he has made me accepted in the beloved. He has opened up a door of access to him that I can come to him any hour, any time, and on my bended knee and pray to him. And he will hear my prayer. And when I ask him to forgive me, he's faithful to forgive me. And he really died for me and paid a sin debt for me if I'm his 2,000 years ago on the tree of the cross. And my sins were removed from me as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against me anymore. And I don't have to worry about living good enough so I'll be accepted into heaven, because Jesus has already done that. I hope that gives you some peace about heaven today. And I hope you're not resting in any way. If you're sitting there today resting in how good you've been in order to get to heaven, I sure hope I can mess that up. I know some people say, well, why would you want somebody not to feel content? Because that's a lie. Because in me and in you, there is no goodness other than that which is given to us by the grace of Almighty God. And if I trust in myself or anyone else, I am dishonoring the God of heaven who has done everything that's necessary that every one of God's little children without the loss of one will be with him in heaven in immortal glory. And you and I will never have fellowship with him here or over there outside of that grace allowing us to have that fellowship. But I've had some sweet fellowship with him. Have you? Have you felt him? You say, well, I'm not feeling him now. Well, if you know you're not feeling him now, you must have felt him sometime to know you're not feeling him now. Because if you never felt him, you wouldn't know the difference. I hear sometimes God's little children saying, I just don't know whether he's mine or not because I can't feel him. And I say, how do you know you can't feel him if you've never felt him? Listen, if you know, if you felt him, you know when you don't feel him. But if you've never felt him, how would you know the difference? The reason you can feel empty sometimes is because you've been full some other time. The reason you can feel alone sometimes is because there have been times in your life that you have not been alone, that he's been there. And let's be honest. Let's just be plain and honest this morning. Has God not been with you through the trials and the troubles and the problems of your life? Can you not just look back and see how he's so richly blessed you, how he's been good to you? Do you suppose for a moment you deserve that? Do you suppose for a moment you earned that or you merited that? And if you're thinking that, again, I hope I can mess that up. I hope that part can get wiped away so that you understand every good thing I have in my life, from my health to my family, to my job, to my place I'm living, to the car that I'm driving, to the little parts of my body and the big parts of my body that are working. Everything that I have has come from God. He is the author of every good thing in my life. And it came from him not because of what I've done for him, but because of what he's done for me. And he says, if you then be risen with Christ. What does that mean, risen with Christ? It means you're no longer dead in sin. You're alive in Christ. Something has happened to you that you didn't do for yourself. There's nothing I can do for someone that is dead. There's nothing that a doctor of this world can do for someone that is dead. If you take a dead man to the doctor and you say, doctor, I got a dead man out here, he's going to say, there's not anything I can do for a dead man. But I'm telling you, there is one who is able to raise the dead. It's not me, it's not you, but that Lord Jesus Christ didn't have any problem doing it whatsoever. That's sure good news for those that are dead in trespasses and sins to know that there's one who is able to make us alive. The fact of the matter is every one of God's elect children, without the loss of one of them, will at some point in their life be made, brought from a state of death and trespasses and in sins to a state of life in Christ Jesus. And that is what it means to be risen with Christ. Are you risen with Christ? And sometimes you say, well, I don't know. Well, let's talk about that. Are you risen with Christ? He says, if ye then be risen with Christ. What does that mean? That means, can you see him? Can you feel his presence? Can you look around at the creation of this world and sing with the hymn writer, how great thou art? Can you hear him when the birds are singing? Can you smell him when you smell the sweet fragrance of the flowers? Does the days and nights talk to you about the glory and the power of God? Has he come to you and made himself known unto you to where, and I'm not saying you feel him and know him all the time, but you know when you can feel it. Have you felt the touch of his gentle hand and the closeness of his presence? Have there been times, and you know, brethren, I know there are times we get down low and we get in doubt and we get in fear, but there's other times he just lifts us up and sets us up on the mountaintop We have felt his presence. The reason we have felt that is because he's awakened us from a state of death and sin and given us life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the work of the new birth. As the wind bloweth where it listeth, and you can hear the sound thereof, you can't not tell whence it cometh nor whither it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. And if you've been born again, if he's given you life, he's given you life to live it in a way to honor and glorify the Lord. He says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Isn't that good news today to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is seated on the right hand of the Father? What does that mean for us? The Bible says when he had by himself purged their sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. Which means he by himself purged their sins. He took care of our sin debt. And then he sat down as the work of redemption was complete and finished. He sat down on the right hand of the Father. And there at the right hand of the Father, he intercedes for us so that when we pray, the Lord, as he went away, he sent the Holy Comforter. The Holy Comforter being the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is shed abroad in our hearts, giving us a desire to pray and an unction to pray. Have you felt the burden in your heart to pray? Have you felt that at times that I just need to pray? And we look to the Lord. That comes from the Spirit of Almighty God, by the way. That shows that you have been risen with Christ. If you have that desire and that unction to pray, that comes from the Lord. A man that is dead doesn't pray. It's the living that pray. It's God's little children that cry out. And they've been made alive by the Lord. And then the Lord seated on the right hand of the Father is in a position of power. We have a God who's in power. He says, be strong in the Lord over in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We're not to be strong in ourselves, but we are to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Who is that we're talking about? We're talking about the one seated on the right hand of the Father. We're talking about the one who is God, the one who is with God and the one who is God. We're talking about the one who created the heavens and the earth. We're talking about the one who holds all things and keeps them and sustains them, and by his power all things consist. We're talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're talking about one that you can go to, and there's no case too hard for him as the great physician. There's no problem that you have that's too great for him. And even when you can't express it, he knows what you stand in need of without you saying a word. He knows all those things. We have him to look to. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And he's seated on the right hand. And we're to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And we're to set your affection, that is your mind, on things above, not on things on the earth. Today, as we're facing all kinds of problems and all kinds of troubles here in this time world, it can overwhelm you, can't you? It can get you to where you can't hardly think the way you ought to think, and you can't act the way you ought to act. And what we want to do is remember that nothing has changed as far as God is on his throne, and we have him to look to. And as we lean to him, he is able to supply exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, everything that you and I stand in need of as we face life and its troubles. We're to lean on him, seek those things, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. And then he says, for ye are dead. Now, how in the world are we dead? You know, it kind of gets mixed up sometimes when we're reading the scripture, and it says one minute you're alive and the next minute you're dead. We have to rightly divide the word of truth in order to understand that. He says, for ye are dead. Doesn't mean that you're dead corporally, because we're in the physical body. We're alive physically or corporally. Doesn't mean you're dead in trespasses and sins, because you've already been risen from that state. You were dead in sins, but now you're alive in Christ. But it means you're dead into the sense that the old person that you were is no longer in existence. And I know we carry that old flesh around with us, but I'll tell you what, there's a warfare that's going on now that used to did not go on. There's a battle that's happening in you that used to did not happen. There is a That appetite and that desire for sin may be there, but you can't live in it, walk in it, lap it up like you did at one time, because you are dead to those things, because you've been made alive to Christ and in Christ. You are dead to those things, which means they are no longer your joy. They're no longer your happiness. Sometimes God's little children get confused and think, I can just go back and enjoy that like I used to. You know, I've heard sometimes and even have said it sometimes, just try that for a while and see what it'll do for you. I don't want to tell you to try it for a while and see what it'll do for you. I can tell you from the Word of God, you and I can't live in the happiness that we might have had back then. Thank the Lord that we can't. When before the Lord had dealt with us, we could take our fill of it and it was no problem. We didn't have any conscience about it. We felt alive without the law once. Over in Romans chapter 7, verse 9. The Apostle Paul says, for I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Now what that means is there was a time in my life I didn't have any problem with anything. I could just go out there and live my life and before the Lord dealt with us. Now, some of you who maybe had an experience even in your mother's womb, and y'all do believe that can happen, don't you? That the Lord can deal with someone even before they're born. And we do believe that every one of God's children, every one of His elect children, they are His children that belong to Him. Somewhere between conception, when life begins, and death, when the spirit and soul leave the body, will be quickened or made alive by the power of God. We believe that will happen. It's somewhere between conception and death that will occur. We also believe that may be at the very moment of conception. Because you've got, contrary to what the world might tell you, you don't have a fetus, you have a baby. There's a baby that's there. And that life is there. And it's precious. And it's that which Psalm 139 says the Lord formed us and fashioned us in our mother's womb. And we don't have to question about where that comes from, because the Bible makes it very, very plain and very, very clear. And that life is precious. And that one that's in that mother's womb, even as a little John the Baptist was able to leap for joy in his mother's womb, he leaped with joy, not just kicked like a little baby kicks, but had joy, and joy is listed as a fruit of the Spirit. So the Spirit had to be there, and John the Baptist, even in his mother's womb, which gets into the womb, sure would be in trouble if a gospel preacher had to get to him to get that there, wouldn't it? I'm telling you, the gospel preacher does not bring life to the dead. The gospel preacher shines the light to the living. And the only one who can make the dead alive is the Lord. And the Lord is able to do that, and He does it for some, even in their mother's womb. Now, some of you may have an experience that you can't hardly remember a time that you didn't worry about the things that you did. Your sin always troubled you, that you always had a problem with it. Some may have had that experience in their mother's womb. But there are some who didn't have any problem with sin, was that just out in this world? And they may have had a law that their mama and daddy gave them that they were trying to keep or follow, some kind of moral law, but nothing that was really about God or serving God. And they were just running in this world any old way until God came along and arrested them by His grace and gave them a conscience. And the commandments or the laws of God were written on their heart. And that's what the Apostle Paul is talking about. He says, but when the commandment came, that means it came in my heart and I began to see, oh, I'm wrong. It's like when you're able to see where you're messing up, where you didn't know you were messing up. You thought, I'm just fine. I'm doing okay. I'm all right. But when the Lord works in your life, He begins to show you all your sin, and then you look at all you've done and you say, woe is me. The commandment came, sin revived, and I died. Which means I can't live like I used to live. I just can't do what I used to do. I just can't act like I used to act. I'm not happy. Something changed. Have you had a change? He touched me, the hymn writer said, and nothing seems to be the same. God's little children have a change. Again, some of them may have had it at the very earliest moment. Some of them may not have it until they are just about to leave this world. We have evidence of a thief that was hanging on a cross, where we see in the very last hours an apparent change in the way that he thought. He was there cursing his Savior that he hung by, but then at the very last moment, the Lord worked in his heart. Isn't it wonderful to know that the issues of life and death belong to the Lord? And as far as who goes to heaven or who doesn't go to heaven, that's in the hands of the Lord. And the Lord's able to quicken them in the very earliest moment or in the latest, the very last hour. All we know is that every one of his children, which, by the way, are as innumerable as the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore, a number that no man can number. That's what the Word of God teaches. Every one of them will be quickened and will be with him in heaven in immortal glory without the loss of the one. And you know why? Because Jesus died for them and paid the sin debt for them. And there's nothing that will ever separate them, not one of them, from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that you and I can count on. He says, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. We are dead. What does that mean? That means God's changed you. You can't just live like you used to live. You can't just act like you used to act. Sometimes I get to thinking I can. Every once in a while, somebody will say something to me, and rather than acting the way I'm supposed to act, maybe none of y'all, I know y'all do this too, I'll say something I shouldn't have said. Something will just pop in there, and I just got to come out. And it's in the actions and the behaviors, but it's also in the thoughts. It's in the mind. It's at what you think. You know, aren't you glad not everybody can see your thoughts? But I want you to also understand the Lord knows every thought before you think it. He knows everything that's going on. And you and I are responsible to him not only for what we do, but what we think and how we act and how we behave. And to think about us ever getting good enough to be acceptable with God, that would be an impossibility. Listen, it would be as impossible as us taking a camel and putting it through the eye of a needle. Couldn't do it. But I'm telling you, could God put a camel through the eye of a needle? Y'all really believe God put a camel through the eye of a needle? Look, he made a camel, and he didn't use anything to make it. So would he have any problem taking the camel that he made and putting that camel through the eye of a needle? Absolutely not. Our God has, with man it's impossible, but not with God. Listen, our salvation with man is impossible, but not with God. And you and I behaving better with us is impossible, but not so with God. When we look to God, he will help us talk right, act right, think right, behave right, in a way to give honor and praise and glory to him. And when we get done with it, all the praise belongs not to us, but to the Lord. And that's what he says, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He didn't say get strong in your might, because he knows we don't have any might. I am weak, the hymn writer said, but thou art strong. The apostle Paul said, when I was weak, that's when I'm strong. If you're that little church in Philadelphia, he says, you have a little strength. But then he commended them for everything that they had. You know what I think? I believe about that. I believe they understood how little they were without the Lord. Do you and I today understand how little we are without the Lord? I'm telling you, if you do that and you understand that, then trust in him and lean upon him for the strength that you need to be the person you're supposed to be, to battle the battles. Y'all got some battles in front of you. And you're going to need strength to battle those battles. Listen, he's given you all his armor to wear in the battle. And all of his armor is good. It's going to hold up. That faith that he gives you to hold as a shield will quench every fiery dart that the old devil throws at you to try to get you to doubt and to question the God of heaven. And all that man might say that would cause you to question things, you can hold that shield of faith and it'll quench every fiery dart. That helmet of salvation that he gives you, well, it's secure and you can rest in your salvation. Why? Because you got your helmet on. My salvation isn't in me. Listen, if I put on my helmet, you know, listen, when I played football, I wanted a good helmet. Didn't want a helmet too loose. Didn't want a helmet that when you turned it, go all the way around, you know, scratch your nose off. It turned, you want it to fit just right. The helmet that the Lord gives us is his salvation. And that salvation is Sure, it'll protect you in the storms of life. And that's how that the loins that you have that are girded about with the truth, that truth will hold up. Listen, when you follow God's word, it'll hold up. When you do what he tells you, it'll hold up. When you have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, that gospel message, the gospel truth, it's good to walk by and live by. It's what you're supposed to have on your feet. It'll change the way you and I talk to one another, think about one another, act towards one another, behave with one another. We'll stop, and we are dead to those old things. We'll not. What that means is, it's not that you can't do them to some degree. It means you'll never do them and be happy in them. Have you experienced that? You ever just think, well, I'll just tell them what I think. And you do that, and for the moment, the old flesh feels satisfied. Well, I really gave them the what for. But then there's something that bothers you, isn't it? There's something that troubles you. You know why? Because you've been risen with Christ. Does your sin trouble you? It's because you've been risen with Christ. Do you see your sin sometimes so great you wonder, could I even be his child or not? That's because you're risen with Christ. And the good news that you have your loins girt with is the truth of salvation by grace, that the Lord has paid the sin debt and I'm set free. Not to just keep on sinning, but to try to live the very best I can free from that in order to give glory and honor and praise to the God of heaven. And even when I do my very best, I'm going to still have to come and confess my sins before the Lord and recognize he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He says, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Can I say to you today, your life is hid with Christ in God. That means he's covered. I'm covered by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Christ, who is our life, what is Christ to us? He's our everything. He's our life. When he shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Not because of what you've done, but because of what he has done. And because of that, he says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, into which ye also walked sometimes when ye lived in them. Then he said, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. That old dead man needs to be put off. And then he says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. We're no longer walking as Jew or Greek or barbarian or free, but we're God's children, and Christ is all and in all, and we deal with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. And we're here to help one another, to love one another, to forgive one another, and to behave in a way that brings honor and glory to the Lord. And it's all because of what the Lord has done for us. I appreciate your kind attention this morning. When you have a mind to pray, remember me. God bless you.